Well, I hope that we reflected on the message and the words of these songs that we sing, because really, what we're trying to accomplish this week is spreading that exact message that we were just sang about. That He is alive. That you can be free. That's the message. That's the theme that we have to share with the world. That's the greatest news, the greatest story ever told, is the gospel. And we have an opportunity like no other to present that in front of upwards of 40,000 people at St. Pat's. So, here we are in our week 5, believe it or not, of Bodyguard, 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles. And we'll begin reading. We'll just read the whole chapter together. It's not long. And then I just want to focus on a few verses out of the whole chapter. See what I did there? So, if you want to stand with me, we're going to read the passage. And if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along here. Starting in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." All right, you guys can be seated. A lot of this stuff is things that we've covered already in our series so far, so I'm not going to go into it. For example, the first part of the chapter goes on to refute those silly, irreverent myths that were being spread that we covered a couple of weeks ago, I think in week 2 or 3, where they were teaching if you stayed single, you were somehow holier than everybody else. Paul's saying, no, that's not a thing. It's not to be... Don't hold those people to a higher level in your mind. And then there were people who were also forbidding them to eat certain things, saying, this is unholy, this is. It's kind of like they were putting them back under Judaism, putting them back under the Jewish law, certain parts of it anyways, and saying, if you really want to be spiritual, if you want to be holy, yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but if you want to reach a higher level, then don't get married, don't eat these certain things. In other words, if you keep the law in addition to your salvation, that'll make you earn favor in God's sight. No, that's not a thing. Paul's saying this is not a thing. Timothy, we have to guard the body against this, against these teachings. But I want to focus mainly on this part right here. Let no one despise you for your youth. Timothy was young. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. This has so many applications for us tonight. Here's what I know. In our youth, the pendulum is swinging back to absolute truth. There was once a time in our culture where it was swinging to moral relativity and whatever feels good is right for you. But it's changing. The winds are blowing back to the truth. And unknowingly, oftentimes it's truth found in the Bible. Young people really want answers. They want to know what the Bible says, even if they don't agree with it completely. Young people are realizing the hopelessness of a life without a real faith in a real God. How do I know this? What makes me say this? Well, my proof is you. Look around. Here we have an entire church made up of people primarily under the age of 25. That's incredible. What other church can you go to? What other kind of... Well, you could. I'm about to say that. There are other churches. There are dozens of other movements across the nation, across this world, where the youth, where the young people, the next generation, are rushing in, are flocking to it by the thousands. A couple of places come to mind. Not only in our city, but across the whole nation. You've got Hillsong churches being planted everywhere. In LA, in New York, in London. You've got New Spring campuses popping up. You've got Elevation Church campuses popping up. You've got City Church out in Seattle, Washington. You've got campuses of that church popping up everywhere. Really, if you think about it, the majority of the people who are going to those type of churches are 20-somethings. They're what we call the millennials. And so, to me as a pastor, that, for me, that means the future is bright. For me, I think that revival is happening. It's not going to happen. I believe revival is happening. I think that we are swinging back to God. The young people, that is. And now we have, just to switch gears a little bit, we have a big opportunity ahead of us in 5 Points on Saturday. It's an opportunity so incredible that it made all of us, when we did it for the first time, we all got goosebumps going into 5 Points as we were, we never had an audience like that before. I mean, if you can picture in your mind upwards of 40,000 people intently looking on as 12 of us ungracefully dance our minds out to the New Springs, the Newsboys, God's Not Dead, He's Surely Alive, Living on the Inside, Roaring Like a Lion. It didn't matter. The message was received. As silly as we looked, the message that we brought to 5 Points was heard loud and clear. Over 40,000 people heard that there is a living God. He's real. That He loves them. That He desires a relationship with them. But God can't use little old decided church. I mean, honestly, God can't use a body of just 30, 20-somethings to spark a revival that spreads like wildfire all over this city. God can't do that. If God can't do it, I don't know who's doing it, but it's happening. You know what I mean? It is happening. God is taking this church seriously, look around tonight. There's not a person here that should be considered an adult, really. None of us should be considered adults. Yet, if you look at the impact that this church has had far and wide, it blows my mind. It really does. Decided Church is not so little because the God we serve is not so little. Amen? And I believe tonight that the reason why Decided Church, although we're a small body of believers, the reason why we have such a large impact, not only in this state, but in other states too, is because there's no limit to what God can do with a group of people who are completely sold out to Him, who have nothing left to sacrifice. There's no way that this world can put out our fire. I'm trying to pump y'all up for St. Paddy's Day. I mean, I need some help up here. Okay, so we're going to go on. I can't skip over this. Even today, nobody knows this yet but me. But just today, my wife was like, oh, I was going to go feed the baby, but never mind. Just today, I got here super early because, like I said, she had a bridal shower at the house, so I got here like 2-ish. And I walked to the mailbox, and there was a letter in there from the Marzolinos, which I know nobody knows here. Actually, you might. Masaya might. But these people are from, that's her full real name, for real. And but to get back to the story, these are people that that I haven't seen in, I am 28, so I haven't seen them in at least 20 years. They were from Irmo originally. They went to the church that several of us grew up at here tonight. And they moved before the time I got to kindergarten. So I don't even remember what these people look like. I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you if we spotted them on the street. I wouldn't know who they were. I really wouldn't. But I get this note in the mailbox today from the Marzolinos and saying that they have, because of modern technology and social media the way it is, that they've been kind of stalking us on our website, on Facebook, and they're just, they just wanted to let us know that although they haven't seen me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and although they don't know anybody here, they want to let you know that they're praying for this church. This is upstate New York, by the way. They farm. They have a huge farm in upstate New York. And with that, they said, we want to make a donation to the church, and there's a $100 check in there from somebody I don't even know, really. That is crazy, the impact that this church has all over the nation. States that we've never even been to before. You know what I mean? Except for Daniel Potter, maybe. I mean, I don't know what's in upstate New York. A lot of farms, I guess. But anyway, in our service to our mighty big God, this passage pointed out 5 specific areas where we can really let our light shine. We can be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Wow. Think about that list. What a list. I don't think there's any greater importance to the youth in our culture than genuineness displayed in these 5 categories. Millennials in this country and all over the world want to see genuineness in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. That's what they're after. That's why the pendulum is swinging back to absolute truth, because they've realized that there is not enough to life without something bigger than themselves, something real, some kind of faith and some kind of God that's bigger than me. And so we have an opportunity like no other to be an example in these 5 categories this Saturday. But first, Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. I think our church is an example already of what young people sold out to Christ can do. And think about it. Are you sitting tonight in a chair in our own air conditioning building purchased by a group of crazy 20-year-olds for half the price, less than 2 years into our ministry? Wow! You're sitting in a chair in our own air conditioning building that was purchased for half the price by a bunch of 20-year-olds less than 2 years into our ministry. What is that? That's nuts. If I weren't part of this church, I would think it was a cult, because these kinds of things don't happen. It's not normal. It's not. It's not normal. It defies logic. But what I love, and see, this is why I wouldn't do church anywhere else, is because I wouldn't want to be a part of any other church, because you guys encapsulate what it means to this verse. Let no one despise your youth. We haven't even given the world a chance to hate on us because we're young, because we just keep trucking. You know what I mean? Like, you can't stop this. We haven't stopped. We haven't been stationary long enough for the world to hate on us because we're so young. We just haven't stopped. We just keep going. That's incredible. Let this be an encouragement to us to keep it up. Let's take it to the next level Saturday. Let's push our boundaries. Let's defy logic once again. Let's be a little bit dangerous on St. Paddy's Day. Let's expect the miraculous and prepare for the marvelous. Yeah? Let's exhibit some of that radical faith in a reckless God that we shout up here from stage, but let's live it out once again, downtown in Five Points. Because at the end of the day, what is the legacy we'll be known for? What is our body of work? You know how it'll be measured? It'll be measured by our speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Athletes, teams, and coaches all over are known for what they accomplish on the field. What's their record? What are the stats? Show me the evidence, right? What did you accomplish by the numbers? Well, in the same token, what will ours be? What is our reputation going to be in each of these five categories? It leads me to the title of our sermon tonight, Guard the Body by Being an Example of the Body. Guard the body by being an example of the body. So let's unpack each of these five categories. Then we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we'll be done, and then we're going to have a meeting for St. Paddy's Day. The first one is speech. Of course, speech is what we say. And my challenge to you tonight in the area of speech is let's look for and plan on the meaningful conversations. Now I'm talking about Saturday. This whole message is geared to rev you up for Saturday. Okay? Let's look for and plan on the meaningful conversations. I like to say it this way. Impact one and you'll influence 100. Influence 100 and you won't impact one. In other words, if we look for those meaningful conversations with one person and we get some kind of impact to where it not only affects the way they think, but it makes it to their heart and to their hands. In other words, something we say or do or they see us doing impacts them so much that there's not only a change of thinking, there's a change of heart also. And it carries itself out by their actions. They have a change of action. If we can focus on impacting the one, guess what? That one person, a changed person, will have greater influence on all of his comrades and people and friends that he hangs out with than if we try to influence 100 people, yet we don't impact one. The difference between impact and influence, it stops right here. Influence just changes your thinking, maybe a little bit. Impacting somebody changes the heart and changes the actions. Let's look for and plan on the meaningful conversations with the one. Let's pray for the one to take real action on their thinking. Conduct. This is how we act. Let's leave the negativity, the moods, and I'm preaching mostly to myself here, let's be honest. Let's leave the negativity, the moods, and the attitudes at home. We all have crappy days, but Saturday is not one of them. Amen? Saturday is just not going to be one of them. It's not. Don't let the unpredictable circumstances rain on your parade, literally speaking. Let's show a unified, laser-focused, fun-loving team. Unified, laser-focused, fun-loving team. That's what we want to go out and accomplish on St. Paddy's Day. We got to be ready to jump in and serve wherever is needed with no complaints. Let's say we wake up Saturday morning and it's just one of those gray days where we can tell it's going to rain the whole day. It's not downpouring because it would be over soon. It's not drizzling because it might let up. No, it's just one of those constant rains. It's just a gray, nasty day. What are we going to do? We have to prepare ourselves and prepare our conduct. We cannot let circumstances determine what kind of day we have. So let's say we wake up Saturday and it's raining. We have two choices. We can either get in this funk and this mood, and guess what? It's going to spread like a virus on all over us, and we'll just have a miserable day together. We won't accomplish much because we won't believe that much is going to happen. We'll think not many people are going to show up anyway. And really, at the end of the day, we're all going to be just kind of there, but not really there. Or we could wake up, see the rain, and say, you know what? It's raining. The forecast called for that anyway. We're just going to suck it up. We're going to have fun. We're going to do this thing with as much passion and energy as possible, even if it were sunshine and 75. So sunshine or rain, hot or cold, breakfast or no breakfast, we've got to get up, we've got to strap ourselves together, and we have to conduct ourselves in a way that exemplifies Jesus. Conduct ourselves in a way that exemplifies Jesus, our conduct. Love, number three. As conduct is the way we act, love is how our conduct is perceived. So love is in direct relation to our conduct. We are there to love on people. That's why we go, is it not? Amen? We go to love on people. And there's one thing that I've come away the past 2 years thinking. It's this thought. If Jesus were here with us, he would be at St. Paddy's Day in Five Points. I wholeheartedly believe that. After the past 2 years doing this event, I look at the throngs of people. I watch their empty faces go by. No meaning, no hope. Just looking for the next rush, the next thrill to carry them through. And I'm like, man, only if you were here, Jesus, only if you were here could you see these people. Could you just have an impact on these people? And I think, man, if Jesus were here, he'd be performing miracles. He would be forgiving the accusers. He'd be calling out disciples. He'd be speaking to the masses. And then I think, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We are Jesus at St. Pat's. We are Jesus in Five Points on Saturday. If he is truly living on the inside, roaring like a lion, then he is there. I don't have to pray. I don't have to wish that, man, if only Jesus were here, could he see these people? Could he do a work? He is there because we are there, and we are Jesus for St. Paddy's Day. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, and his heart. So what would he hear? Who would he see in the crowd? Where would he walk? What would he be busy about doing? And don't be misinformed. Our love won't be appreciated by everyone. Some will think it judgy. Some will think it rude and humiliating. Some will frankly find it convicting and therefore unattractive. But we go on loving in Jesus' name because we are Jesus for St. Pat's. And I don't mean that in a blasphemous way. I mean that literally. We are the hands and feet. So if Jesus is going to show up on Saturday to do a work, Decided Church has to show up. Because we're the only light shining there. We're the only church that does anything. We have to make an impact in our speech, in our conduct, in our love. Number four, our faith. Faith is what we accomplish. And my challenge to you in the area of faith is that, you know, it doesn't matter if we get photographed. It doesn't matter if we get a write-up in the state newspaper. It doesn't matter if we get featured on the local news. What we accomplish is noted in God's eyes. It does get headlines in the Heavenly Chronicles. The angels rejoice, and the believers that have gone on before us cheer us on from the grandstands. Our accomplishments are as big as our faith. You see, the question isn't, oh man, are we trending on Twitter? The question really is, how big can you dream? Because what we accomplish is directly tied to how big we dream. If we can think it, we can do it. If we can have the faith for it, we can accomplish it. That's just simply how it goes. The level of success that we reach on Saturday is a direct indication of our faith. And then number five, purity. He closes out with purity. It's a very important one. This is how we respect ourselves and each other. Let's take a loving, unashamed stand for our Savior. Why is the church here? Why aren't y'all drinking? These are questions that you're going to be asked. Why is the church here? Why aren't y'all drinking? Can I buy you a drink? Can we go party later on? These are questions that you might more than likely be asked. Show honor, show dignity, show respect for others without compromising your standards. Don't be shy to tell them what you believe. They'll actually respect it. They really will. Like I said, young people are searching for something. They want something. They want some kind of real answer. And they could find it in you if you're showing the purity. Are you being an example of the believers in purity? But purity also has to do with our hearts before God. Like I said in our prayer earlier, we need to come prepared for God to do a work in us too. And how does God do a work in us? This comes by practicing daily repentance and keeping short accounts with God. Don't let your unconfessed sin be the reason God withholds his blessing from Decided Church on Saturday. Remember Achan? He was a guy in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. And the Israelites should have demolished the Midianite army, but they lost. They went down in defeat because one man hid treasure in his tent that he was not supposed to have. God said, "Do not take of the plunder," and he took, and he hid. He thought nobody would find out. Well, the whole nation found out because after the defeat, they went searching through every tribe, every clan, every family until they found the man Achan and said, "What is in your tent, dude?" And he uncovered all this loot. And it was the reason why God removed his blessing from that day. So don't underestimate your personal walk. It has an effect on St. Paddy's Day. Listen, this week is going to be tough. Don't you believe Satan's after us this week? He's going to be after me. He's going to be after you. He's going to want to get us down. He's going to want to get us focused on the forecast. He's going to want to get us focused on that person who said something ugly that I'm still offended about right now. He's going to have us focused on holding grudges. He's going to have us focused on unforgiveness. He's going to have us focused on temptation. It's going to be this week. We have to be on guard because we have to be pure. We've got to keep short accounts. We have to practice daily repentance, and we have to pray that God will put a hedge of protection around us. Now, I've related this message to our upcoming event, but of course, you can make the application in your mind how these five areas expand to all things we do and say, carrying the name of Jesus. We're to be examples of the believers on the clock at work, in the quiet places of our home, in our communities, and elsewhere. But before our time is up, I want to come full circle and lead into a time of prayer over our church's biggest event. As we receive our marching orders for battle this Saturday, this is that serious time that every soldier spends with his closest comrades, not knowing what lies ahead, but anxious to get there. You pray, you cry, you remember. Oftentimes you don't get much sleep. You plan, you hug, you drill, you prepare mentally for the task at hand. That time is now. What will we be known for? What is our body of work? Let no one despise our youth, but we will be an example of the believers. Guys, we're about to let our light shine like it's never shone before. And do you know what I love about light? Light always trumps darkness. You ever stop to think about that? Light always trumps darkness. There is no epic battle between light and darkness because light always wins. And we are that light. Will you say that with me out loud tonight on the count of three? I am that light. One, two, three. I am that light. And when we as a church, as God's church, collectively let our light shine together, we are like a city on a hill. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's pray. God, thank you for this incredible task that's set before us. And although it's huge, although it seems insurmountable, we've done it 2 years already. And every time we come up to this event, it's like, are we really going to be able to climb this mountain again this time? Is it going to go as well as the years past? Are there areas that we're overlooking? Are we going to have enough help? Are there enough people signed up? But God, you're always faithful. You always come through. And God, tonight, as we look over these five areas in our life, help me as the pastor here to be an example of the believers in speech, conduct, faith, love, and purity. So vital, these areas. And if we can display that kind of genuineness, God, we ask for your help to show the realness in these five areas so that the youth in this city will be affected, not just influenced, but impacted, that we could see change happen, that we could see souls saved, that we could see hearts changed. We pray over this event. And while everyone's head is bowed, while everyone's eyes are closed, I'm going to ask a few of you if you'd like to volunteer to pray. Now's the time. This is that time where we come close, where we rally ourselves together. We have our marching orders. The battle is at hand. It's time to prepare mentally. It's time to huddle up. It's time to pray over this thing. It's time to work it over in our faith life. I've prayed for a few things already. But if there's anyone here who would like to lead us in prayer, I'm going to turn it over to you now. And once two or three people have prayed, Will is going to close us out. And then we'll sing our final song, and then we'll come right back and we'll have a meeting about St. Pat's. I encourage you that if you're not signed up, and if something touched a chord in your heart tonight, and you say, man, I really need to be a part of this thing. I've been making excuses. I've been kind of not planning on it, but tonight, after hearing this, I'm gearing up. I want to be a part of this. I want to see things happen. I want to have a little skin in the game. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I'd encourage you tonight, sign up before you leave. We'll have a brief meeting, and we'll tell you when to show up, where, with who, and everything will go smoothly. It'll go just fine. God, as we come to you in prayer over this event, help us to dream big so that we can accomplish big. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be Jesus for these lost people that are all over the place. Help us to impact the one so that we can influence the 100s. It's in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we thank you for how good you are to us. And God, as we go in on Saturday, I pray specifically for all the people here, each and every one of us, because in order for you to do a work through us, you must first do a work in us. And so, God, I pray that this week would be a week that we find a way to get in your word and to dig deep and to grow and to really root ourselves in your promises. That on Sunday when we wake up, we can't do anything but overflow of your love and your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Father. We thank you for this significant, magnificent opportunity, Father. And we are so excited because we don't have to pray for the opportunities. We know they're going to be there, God, but we pray that we have the boldness to take advantage of them. Let us not let these things pass us by, but instead help us just be your son. Help us put a smile on a face. Help us show somebody who needs love that they are loved. There's going to be people who are hurting. There's going to be people who are down on their luck, God, but you have put us there in order to fix that. Help us be contagious. Help us be people where others look at us and say, I want that. Father, brew up a jealousy in the hearts of those who are going to meet us. Because in the end, it's your Holy Spirit that does it. You are the one that draws them to your gospel. You are the one that brings them into the beautiful knowledge of your Son. And so, Father, we pray for your power to be upon us. Help us be faucets of your Holy Spirit. Help us blanket those people with your love, with your mercy, and with your grace. We praise you and we give you thanks for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.